This series we've been having our deacons come and read the verse before the sermon, and we've got Deacon Jordan Fluharty going to come and read our verse first this morning.
So we're reading from Genesis chapter 2, 8 through 17. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, eastward, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow trees that were pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pishon. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hidekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep to it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.
Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it. We love our deacons here at Clarksburg Baptist Church. These people are people that you could go and ask for prayer about. You can go and ask for visits or for those that are sick. They also are a huge part of our summer picnics. They help us set up the tables. They grab the chicken from wherever we get it from. They organize the food because if you've ever been a part of the party, you can't put the brownies next to the potato salad. There's like an organization to it. They help us do that. They help clean up. On top of visiting people in the hospital, making calls, praying for people. So we love our deacons here, and we want you to know who they are, and we're trying to do a better job of that. And so you've seen so far Chris Hanna last week, and today Jordan, and we'll continue to introduce them to you. Last week we started our series called Welcome Home, and we talked in the beginning about identity, how we're more than a number, a Social Security number. Did I tell you all about how I had $800 stolen? Did I tell you about it? We got it back. Okay. I know you all have been nervous about that, but the bank didn't help us at all. They were like, oh, no, we're not going to be able to do anything. So Tori got mad, and she made it happen. She made it happen. She said, you better find that money. She was very nice. Tori Mad is very nice, but she wasn't backing down, but praise the Lord for that. But our identity is so much more than that. I came into my office last week, and someone had put a sticker, post-it note on my door that said 24601. We'll see how cultured you are. Do you know what that means? Yeah, Jean Valjean from Les Mis. That was his prison number, and there's a whole, 24601, like, song thing about it. And so he was known by his identity, which was his prison number. So we've got some cultured people here at Clarksburg Baptist Church. Yeah, it's probably the Bridgeport people. But in a fight, I'll take a Clarksburg person every time. Oh, gosh. We have fun. We have fun. We're having a good time. Last week, we began our series talking about how our soul finds home in God. And home is where our story begins. Our soul's origin is the breath of God. We find our home in Him. And we'd be talking a little bit about how easy it is for us to neglect our inward man. And our soul can become restless and aimless. But God didn't want it to be this way. We got to see just a minute ago, back in Genesis chapter 2, how Adam and Eve were set up for success by God. He gave them Everything that they could ever physically need, everything that their soul would ever need to be at home and to have a healthy soul. But this was before sin entered the picture. Imagine what that would be like. Imagine what it would be like to live in a world not tainted by sin, a world where you're never pulled away from your relationship with God, never having anything between you and someone else, to never have something against someone. This is what Adam and Eve experienced, nature and man and creation free from sin. But once sin entered the story, it became the single most detrimental thing to our souls. Sin is enemy number one. Sin is the most destructive force in the universe. See, sin broke us, and it added space between us and our Creator, us and God. Sin is a home wrecker. And this is why Jesus stepped into the universe. God, in the flesh, came to mend that brokenness that sin caused. We see that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Talking about Jesus here, it says, "For our sake, God, he made him, God made Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." What an amazing and unbelievable thing that God came and took on our sin so that we might be innocent. That's what he did for us. Jesus came to separate us from our sin. Psalms 103:12, we read from this chapter last week. This is how big God wants us to experience that forgiveness. It says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does God, he, remove our transgressions from us." Those things that you carry around on your back, those things, those regrets, and those burdens that you have asked for forgiveness and you've repented of, but you're still haunted by them and you're still carrying them around. God says, don't do that. They're so far away you could never see them again. I've forgiven you. You don't need to carry them anymore. And once we accept what Jesus has done for us, our sin is conquered and it is covered. And once our sin is covered by Jesus, we can now go back to Genesis and see that relationship between Adam and Eve and their God, and we can have that. That's available to us because of what Jesus did. We can go back to Eden and have that Eden relationship with our Father. See, before we can really tackle whether or not our soul is healthy, we have to first address our sin problem. And that sin problem can only be solved by accepting what Jesus did on the cross for us. But now that we understand that and we've looked at that, we can see what Adam broke and we can go back and look at Genesis and see what God intended for us and how he intended for us to live. We can see what home really looks like. So in Genesis 2, we see four things that God gave Adam and Eve after placing them right in the middle of paradise, in the middle of utopia. We can see these four things that he gave them before sin ruined it. The Garden of Eden was a beautiful and flawless place that hadn't yet been tainted by sin. They had everything they needed. They had enough organic fruit to make a Whole Foods jealous. Genesis 2:9 says, "Out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." They have all the pets that you could ever imagine. It's full of just brimming with life. Now, I can't speak for Adam, but I know I would have been picking a new animal to ride every day. I want to see how it feels to saddle up a rhino, get a piggyback from a gorilla, or slide down a brontosaurus's neck like Fred Flintstone. I can't imagine that's a dull life. They had acres and acres of land to enjoy, plants and flowers and sun and water, with the three beautiful, pristine rivers to enjoy. It was paradise. Everything that you daydream about while you're stuck at work, that screensaver that you look at that is just so beautiful and wonderful, Eden was better. Have you ever thought about, though, why God spent so much time making the Garden of Eden beautiful? He could have just made it functional. But no, every animal, every plant, every mountain, every river is uniquely designed by the master artist. I just read the other day that a deep sea discovery project has identified more than 1,100 new deep sea creatures since last April. 1,100 new ones. I'd like to see you dream up some of these creatures. Here's a picture. There's one. Do another one. Yeah. Our God, these are things that we never knew existed until last April. These are things that nobody's ever seen, and that's how creative your God is, and that's how much your God appreciates beauty and how intricate he is. Now, we don't worship nature, but there's something about creation that points our soul to our Creator. Why did God put so much effort into making his creation beautiful? Well, the Garden of Eden was beautiful because he wanted Adam and Eve to enjoy it. The Bible tells us that the sky and the heavens declare the glory of God. But the more and more that we disconnect ourselves from God's creation, and the more that we point our eyes down and at a screen, the worse our physical and mental and spiritual health becomes. Some of the times I've felt most at rest with God are times that I've just soaked in God's glory through his creation. We used to, when we lived in Georgia, we'd go to Panama City every summer, and we rented a condo with a balcony that overlooked the ocean because somebody in our church gave us a really good deal on it. And my favorite part, though, was just to sit on the balcony with a cup of coffee and just look at creation, and you'd see dolphins go by and the waves crash. I remember the first time I ever got to see the Pacific Ocean when I was in Costa Rica on a missions trip, as these rocks are just bombarded by these huge waves, and it was so beautiful. We just got to go to New Mexico a couple weeks ago, and we see these orange mountains jutting up into the sky. It looks like we were in Mars or something. I remember as a teenager lying on the driveway in Pennsylvania and staring up at the endless specks of stars. These are each times where my soul has been pointed home to something bigger, to understand how small I really am, but how big God is and how much he loves me, that he notices me. As my dad gets older and now is retired, all he wants to do is hike. It's actually a little bit annoying sometimes. You're like, no, Dad, I don't want to go on another hike. We just got back from hike. But to see the more, all he wants to do is to see more and more of God's endless beauty that God has created. And even though I know I need that space of rest and appreciation of our God, I'm as bad as anyone to be constantly thinking about what's next instead of enjoying the moments in life. Always looking to the future instead of enjoying the present. Here's a quote that I like. It says, "Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why they call it the present." That was the turtle from Kung Fu Panda that said that. Very wise man. If you've been here for the 9 years, I probably quoted this like 10 times. It's a good quote. Yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, but today is the gift. And that's why we call it the present. The first thing God gave Adam and Eve's soul was rest. And in order to have a healthy soul, culture won't tell this to you. Your job will not tell this to you. College won't tell this to you. You need rest. You need it. You need rest without guilt. You need rest and relaxation and enjoyment to pause. The Bible calls that Sabbath. And that's one of the first things that was said about the garden, is that they enjoyed it. Enjoying the fruit, enjoying each other, enjoying the beauty, taking time to smell the roses. They enjoyed the food and the land and the animals. God designed this perfect place for Adam and Eve to live. And that's what it looked like. Enjoyment. Now, especially those of us under 50, we've forgotten how to slow down, how to unplug, and how to rest. We've grown up with endless things to do, endless ways to distract ourselves. But is our life better because of it? See, where we could really learn something here from the older generation. I have a friend that is my age, and he's going through some stress, and he went to a counselor, and the counselor prescribed to him to start a garden and go on walks. Those are things my grandmother would have told me to do 40 years ago. Take a breath. And I feel like this is something that we miss. Life is full of choices, this or that. And you're never going to be able to do all the stuff. You've got to pause and enjoy and rest on our Heavenly Father and to give Him praise and to take the time to appreciate what He's given us. There's a movie I saw a long time ago, and it's kind of dumb, but it makes you think. It was called Click. See, this guy somehow had gotten possession of a magic remote control, TV control. And he figured out that it allowed him to fast forward through time. And so he was really excited about it, right? He thought he could fast forward through the DMV and mowing the lawn and changing diapers, tough days at work, fights with his wife. He thought it was great. Until before he knew it, he was an old man without much time left. And he didn't realize it, but the rewind button didn't work. Don't miss the beauty in the mundane. Don't take for granted the moments. Don't wait to enjoy life till you have little time left. God gave us the gift of rest, and He modeled it for us on the seventh day of creation. Jesus modeled it for us as He sat and ate with friends, and He made the time to sit and rest. So take time to enjoy the simple things in life, the simple moments, the taste of an orange, the smell of a lily. Your soul needs that. Your soul needs rest. And that's why Jesus tells us in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus gives us what was given in Eden. We get that garden experience in Christ. A restless soul shows that we aren't focusing on the fact that God is in control. We get the illusion that we're in control and we can change things. But when we rest, we say, "God, I'm putting down the shovel, I'm putting down the axe, and I am letting you do the work." So first, God gave them rest. Next, God gives them a commandment in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" God gives permission here before He gives restriction. He told them all that they could do before He told them what they couldn't do. And if you've thought about this account very long, though, you probably ask yourself the question, why did God even put the tree there? It's because the second thing that God gave them for a healthy soul was restraint. See, our soul actually needs to hear no. No isn't a bad thing. Now, it's hard sometimes. But you know from being a kid or having kids that no